Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and I'm coming to you live on two platforms, on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network station, CSNP, and on my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. So I give thanks to everybody who is listening and watching live, as well as to all of you who will be joining me later, because we will keep our podcast archived at our Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, CSNP site, at the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, and we'll also have it on my Selena Fox Updates page under my live streams. And at some point, I also hope to get this at my Selena Fox YouTube channel. So tonight, we are continuing exploring goddesses and goddess spirituality. Tonight, we take a look at goddesses around the Wheel of the Year. The Wheel of the Year is a name given to the eight seasonal holidays that are widely celebrated in many paths of nature spirituality. They combine the solstices and the equinoxes that are at the start of each of the four seasons and their midpoints that are also known as the Celtic fire festivals or cross quarters. We're going to be working with dates and festivals using the northern hemisphere pattern. All of these eight Sabbaths also are something people in the southern hemisphere celebrate, but at a six-month difference. The solstices and the equinoxes have been celebrated by a variety of people, antiquity, and especially rooted in some of the northern European traditions. The cross-quarter days, the Celtic fire festivals, were celebrated as major seasonal turning points of the year amongst various Celtic peoples across time. And Celtic peoples were quite diverse, were in continental Europe and then moved across Europe into what's known as the Celtic lands today. Contemporary pagans, Wiccans, and other nature spirituality practitioners celebrate eight festivals, combine the Celtic seasons as seasonal holidays with the solstices and the equinoxes. And as part of my own personal practices, I too celebrate the eight Sabbaths. I'd like to begin with a chant, and I'm using the word Sabbath as another name for each of the eight seasonal holidays on the Wheel of the Year. Circle of light, circle of sound, circle of Sabbaths. Circle around, circle of light, circle of sound, circle of Sabbaths, circle around, circle of light, circle of sound, circle of Sabbath, circle around. There's a variety of ways of depicting the eight Sabbaths in the Wheel of the Year. And one of the most common ways is in the form of an eight-spoked wheel. Where does one begin the Wheel of the Year? Well, it depends. It depends on the tradition. I'm from a past rooted in Wiccan spirituality that begins with Samhain, the end of October. Goes to Yule in December, then to Imbolc, or some people know it by the name it got in the Middle Ages, Candlemas, then to the spring equinox in March, then to Beltane, or what many people know as May Day and May Eve at the beginning of May, on to the beginning of summer, summer solstice, which in some traditions is known as Midsummer, or St. John's Eve, which was a name it got during the Middle Ages. Then on to Lunasa, or Lammas. In the Circle Sanctuary community, we call that the Green Spirit Festival. And then going to Fall Equinox, or Mabon, as it's sometimes known, and around the wheel to Samhain again. What I'd like to share with you tonight are some ways of being able to honor the divine through one or more goddess forms, specifically those goddess aspects and goddess forms that are linked with each of these sacred holidays of the Wheel of the Year. Samhain, which many people celebrate in popular culture as Halloween, it's also known as All Hallows, takes place in the Northern Hemisphere in late October going into early November. This is a time of preparing for the colder parts of the year. The great goddess has many forms across cultures and through the ages. In many traditions of nature spirituality, Wiccan, contemporary pagan, earth-centered spirituality are some of the names of some of the forms of nature spirituality that connect with the Wheel of the Year. This is the time of the goddess as crone. The triple goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, have been linked with the celebration of lunar cycles, with the waxing moon being the maiden, the full moon, the mother, and the waning moon to dark moon being the crone. Well, the triple goddess in some traditions also is applied to the Wheel of the Year. The Wheel of the Year is a cycle of sun and seasons. So as we go into the darkest time of the year, we have the wise old woman, the crone, and then begins moving into the birth of the new solar year at winter solstice. And that's often linked with the mother giving birth to the sun child, then moving to late January, early February, the time of the sun maiden, or Bridget, as she's known amongst many Celtic peoples, then moving to a young goddess, Ostara, at spring equinox, on to the beginning of May, Beltane, with the goddess of flowers and fertility. And the goddess forms continue to evolve and age using a women's life cycle motif. So you come to summer solstice or midsummer with the great goddess in mother form, moving to Lunasa at late July, early August, where we're going into harvest mother and abundant mother for fall equinox, moving into crone. So one way of being able to celebrate goddesses around the wheel of the year is to actually work with the motif of maiden, mother, and crone, and connections with the dynamics of each of these holiday times. Another way of celebrating goddesses around the wheel of the year, which I'm going to also focus on tonight, is to look at some very specific goddess forms that have been linked with the particular Sabbath. Now, some of these goddess forms and their linkage to the Sabbath goes back hundreds, thousands of years. Some goddesses have been rooted in a particular culture and its folk religion, but then over time, as that culture has grown and changed, as there have been other cultural influences, the goddess actually starts migrating. People from different ethnicities and nationalities and faith traditions and cultures may adopt some or all of her customs, her folk ways, her lore, her attributes. And this is what I call the multicultural and interfaith goddess form. So while they may be rooted in some ancient civilizations and cultures, some of these goddess forms that I'll be talking about tonight actually have expanded their way of being in the world. They're actually global goddesses with people from different faith traditions and philosophies and spiritualities attuned to them, honoring them. So let's take our journey, and we begin with Samhain. Samhain is the new year in many Celtic and Wiccan and Druidic traditions, and it is a time of death and rebirth, paying respects to the ancestors, looking ahead to the new spiritual year. So one form of the divine, the goddess Hecate or Hecate, has been linked with this holiday. She often has a trifold form: the underworld, the middle world where we are here and now, and the upper world. She is a goddess of the crossroads. She is a goddess that knows of death and rebirth. She is a goddess of witches, and people in the craft and other forms of contemporary paganism have worked with her in many ways. And as with some of the other goddesses I'll be sharing about with you, some who are aligned with this goddess are actually aligned with her year-round. Some practitioners of nature spirituality ways who work with different goddesses rooted from different cultural backgrounds move through their pantheon, their multicultural pantheon, as they go around the course of the year. Well, with Hecate, she can take many forms. She can be the crone, she can be the maiden, and she can be the mother. So she's one of those global, multicultural, interreligious, multilingual, international goddesses that's very versatile. Some of the other goddesses that contemporary pagans and other nature spirituality practitioners today associate with the crone and this time of year of Samhain include Ceridwen from the Welsh tradition. She who has a cauldron of inspiration and transformation. And the Morrigan, who typically has a three aspects to her as well. Some say three separate goddesses, some say three faces to this goddess. Now, the Morrigan is one, as with Hecate and Ceridwen, sometimes known as dark goddesses. Dark, being in the night, knowing of the mysteries, exploring and attuning to things that some people might find difficult, facing challenges, dealing with issues of end of life. But these goddesses, including the crone as kind of a universal name for the goddess connected with Samhain, are not only about endings, but beginnings and transformation. And of course, there is the crone goddess of winter that not only is linked with Samhain, but you will see her associated with winter as a whole, which takes us into our next holiday on the wheel of the year, Yuletide, the Kaliak. She is known as the old woman in parts of Scotland. She is the goddess of winter, fierce winter, and sometimes is known as the winter hag. Well, there are other goddesses connected with Yuletide. Some of them are fierce and really are embodiments of winter. And in addition to the Kaliak, we have Baba Yaga. We have Virta and Persht. And those in some Germanic traditions are seen as aspects of Holda or Fra Hola, who is the goddess of winter solstice, which is Yuletide, happening on or near December 21st. Some people will celebrate Hola on the eve of winter solstice, the longest night. Others will celebrate her throughout the Yuletide season. Then, in addition to having her linked in with wintertime itself, more of a crone form, in which she rides through the sky on a night chariot, gathering up the souls of the dead. She can take the form of a beautiful maiden with a goose-lined cloak of feathers, goose down feathers, and as she shakes her cloak, it turns into snow. So she is a goddess of the snow and a snow maiden. But she's also the goddess of motherhood. So another versatile, multicultural, global goddess that can take different forms at Yuletide depending on the tradition and the inclination. We also have goddesses that are goddesses of light that are associated with winter solstice. And this is seen as the beginning of the new solar year. One of those goddesses, we journey to another part of the world. We connect with Amaterasu. She has her roots in Japan. the Kami, the great Kami, and the Shinto religion, ancestral nature religion of old Japan. Her worship and her honoring has actually expanded beyond Shinto, and in many parts of Japan, Shinto and Buddhism are intertwined, and there are contemporary pagans today that feel a real resonance with her. And so she's another one of those global multicultural goddesses. At winter solstice time, the myth is that she was lured outside of the cave where she was sulking and came out, and the sun shone bright. So Amaterasu is an example of a sun goddess connected with winter solstice. And among Slavic people in the Baltic, we have Sawe. And whether you're Lithuanian or Estonian or Latvian, you know of this sun goddess that's connected not only year-round with the sun, but with special connections with both solstices. In addition to these goddesses of light, we have Lucina, also known as Lucia, or Saint Lucia, a goddess of the sun, a sun maiden that is honored in Sweden and some other Scandinavian places on December 13th. There were calendar changes, and it used to be the winter solstice, but as calendars changed in Europe, they kept the date, December 13th, for Santa Lucia's Day. And she is often impersonated, depicted in cultural celebrations of Yuletide as a maiden with a crown of candles, of lights, and dressed all in white with a red sash. And yes, she has bridged faith traditions as well as cultures. What started out as a pagan sun goddess then became Christianized, Santa Lucia, and today she is multi-faith. And you'll find her at celebrations in secular settings as well as in Christian churches and in pagan temples. In addition to Lucia, we also have some other goddesses of winter solstice. In ancient Rome, Ops, O-P-S, is her name. The word opulent comes from her name. She was a goddess of abundance. And her holiday, December 19th, was celebrated as part of the Saturnalia. So she was partnered with Saturn, whose celebration began on the 17th of December. And depending on which part of Roman civilization, whether it's the Republic or into the Empire, the Saturnalia and the Opalia lasted for several days or even a week or longer. In addition to her being connected with the winter solstice time, there is another goddess in ancient Rome known as the Angerona, and she specifically was connected with winter solstice. And Epona, a goddess from the Celtic peoples, was picked up by some Romans as well. And her holiday, which was a Celtic Roman holiday, was December 18th, also as part of the Yuletide, the goddess of horses. Well, Bafana, also known as the Christmas witch or the Yuletide witch, was celebrated during the Yuletide, in particular as Yuletide was drawing to a close. Bafana's night is January 5th. And in Italy, she is a gift bringer. to this day. She most likely started as an old goddess, early Roman Republic, and some say the Etruscan, Strenua, goddess of strength. And then she became a La Befana, and some of the Christmas legends and lore were woven into her own legends and lore. And she is very much celebrated around the Epiphany time, which is the Western Christian church. So Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, Epiphany is January 6th, Three Kings Day, and it was said that she had encounters with the three wise men, but didn't go off with them to go see the baby Jesus, stayed around for a bit, then changed her mind and then went out looking. Well, she flies around on a broom on January 5th, and some of her pagan roots are pretty apparent in her guise and in her lore and her celebration. She's one of the gift bringers of Yuletide. We also need to look at Mary, the Virgin Mary in Christianity, who, as she became honored as Christianity grew, took on some great mother attributes, in particular from Aset, a.k.a. Isis. Isis was the name that this ancient Egyptian goddess got as an all goddess, as she became widespread as a goddess to honor in the Greco-Roman world for hundreds of years. And Tenotsin, which has her roots in the indigenous traditions of old Mexico, has a feast day right before winter solstice. And she appeared in the form of a hybrid goddess back in the 1500s. So Tenotsin appeared at her sacred ancient pre-Christian site, but became Our Lady of Guadalupe. So in some traditions, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Virgin Mary, while they are seen as divine feminine forms connected with Christianity, also are part of goddess spirituality celebrations of the Yuletide. And of course, I wouldn't be complete with talking about Yuletide goddesses without talking about the mothers, the Matronae. And here again, you have, back in ancient times, a hybrid goddess form. First of all, three mothers, and some say they were Germanic to begin with and then became Roman. So these three mothers are connected with winter solstice eve, the longest night. And these are just a few of the variety of goddesses that have been linked in with Yuletide. So you'll find a maiden, Lucia, with her crown of light. You will find a great mother who is giving birth to the sun child or the child of light. And you will find the crone. A depiction of Befana has her carrying a basket or a bag full of toys and often has a lantern to guide her way and, of course, the broom. So as we move from Yuletide to the next holiday, we connect with Imhoc and the goddess Bridget. And Bridget takes a variety of forms. She, too, is a goddess that began as a pagan Celtic goddess and then became a Christian Celtic saint and now is a goddess form honored and celebrated at late January and early February in the Northern Hemisphere by people of many different paths. One depiction of Bridget has her with fire. Others have her with water. She is a goddess of the sacred well. She is a goddess of the sun. She may take a maiden form. She might take a mother form. And yes, she is intertwined with Kaliak from old Scotland and other Celtic lands. Some say the Kaliak and Bridget are both the same goddess, and that's the crone form of Bridget. Bridget brings in the spring. Now, I'm in a part of the world, southwestern Wisconsin, USA, that at the beginning of February, when we celebrate Bridget's Day and her feast times, we're in the depths of winter. Sometimes we get a January thaw, but this year it's been very cold and very snowy. Now, in some other parts of the world, especially in Ireland and some other parts of Europe that may have more moderate temperatures, well, indeed, you can see the snowdrops and some other signs of spring popping up at the beginning of February. Because Imlach is a Celtic fire festival, of course, you're going to have a Celtic divinity connected with it. But you know, the ancient Romans had a form of their great mother goddess Juno. Juno, Saspita, the protector of Rome and the Roman people. February 1st was her feast day, traditionally back in ancient pagan Roman times. Well, let us move on around the wheel of the year to the beginning of spring. Oh, Stara, she is the goddess of dawn. She is the goddess of spring. And while we don't know a whole lot about this Saxon goddess, she has become well beloved by contemporary pagans to the point that many people call spring equinox Ostara. Ostara, Ostra, she gives her name to a variety of words. Estrogen comes from her name, as does the name Easter. And part of her lore includes rabbits and hares, definitely fertility creatures, and colored eggs. Sound familiar? There's a lot of debate about how much of these old fertility symbols of the spring were linked in with a whole honoring of Ostara back in the ancient pagan past. We don't know a whole lot about her. There's been some writings written down by a monk in the Dark Ages, but today Ostara is alive and well, and many people celebrate her, invoke her, and she too has become a global multicultural goddess. In addition to looking at her and the coming of spring, with the beginning of spring officially, we also need to take a look at the Eleusinian mysteries, which were a very powerful part of ancient Greek religion, but mysterious. Those who were initiated into the mysteries were sworn to secrecy, and indeed, many of the secrets of that ancient form of Greek religion have gone into the mist of time. Demeter and Persephone. In my collection is a reproduction of some ancient art showing the two goddesses together. And Demeter, goddess of agriculture, of growing things, the great Mother Earth, and Persephone, her daughter, who was taken to the underworld by Hades or Pluto. That's the name in the Roman form of the religious tradition. And some contemporary feminist spirituality scholars, including my friend Merlin Stone, who's now in the other world, but in her book, Ancient Mirrors of Womanhood, she pretty much saw Persephone going to the underworld of her own will and doing that as part of some kind of independence, which is amazing. So the lesser Eleusinian mysteries were held, many say it was late February and into March, and contemporary pagans and crafts of many traditions will celebrate these two goddesses as part of spring equinox. In addition, we have Anna Perenna. Now, she comes to us from the ancient Romans. And once upon a time in old Rome, the beginning of March started the new year. That changed over time to the beginning of the calendar year. The Roman calendar year was January 1st, which is why today most people's calendars start in January. But back when March 1st was the beginning of the Roman year, there were a number of celebrations that happened. And you not only had Anna Perenna, the goddess of the year and of time, celebrated on the Ides of March, March 15th. You had New Year's Day, March 1st, aligned with the goddess Lucina, also known as Juno Lucina, who is the goddess of women, marriage, and childbirth. So it's amazing to see how some old ways have continued to be part of our world today. Well, we move on to Beltane, the beginning of May, late April, early May, and one of the goddesses connected with that Sabbath is Flora. In fact, in ancient Rome, the Floralia lasted for multiple days, beginning in late April and continued on. There were games and celebrations, the goddess of flowers. There is also another ancient Roman goddess, also originally a Greek goddess, Maia. And she gave her name to the month of May that we have today. One of my favorite forms of the goddess at Beltane is that of the May Queen, the goddess who is celebrating connections with life. And we would have, in some traditions, the May Queen and the May King at Circle Sanctuary's Beltane festivals. Pre-pandemic, we would choose by lotto method someone to be the May Queen and someone to be the May King, and we also would pick the May couple to allow for more diversity to be in our royal court. For the May couple, the Beltane couple could be same-sex couples and gender fluid and non-conforming. So that is how we've evolved that celebration. Some people connect Beltane with the queen of the fairies, the Fae time. And Beltane is such an amazing time where flowers and life enjoy a time of beautiful colors and celebration of the growing season. In fact, in the celebrations of Flora, people wore multicolored garments to celebrate beautiful diversity of all of nature being alive. Wow, it's time to move to the summer solstice. And the summer solstice is linked in a lot of different ways with different goddess forms. Solway, from the Baltic peoples, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, she is the great goddess of the sun. And her special day, June 23rd, also known as St. John's Day, is actually how summer solstice continued to evolve as Europe went from pagan to Christian to now multicultural. And she is celebrated not only on that particular day, but in many traditions, she is celebrated for multiple days and nights. And in ancient Rome, the Flores Fortuna, the goddess of good fortune, florists and gardeners, was celebrated around that time on June 24th. Another form of the divine Gaia, who actually is a year-round goddess, but in traditions that are rooted in celebrating earth in abundance, this is a goddess that some traditions will call on specifically at this time of year. In addition to sun goddesses and the earth mother, there is a great celebration of all goddess at summer solstice time. Wow, going around the wheel of the year, we move to the time of the first of the harvest. And Lunasa, the Celtic fire festival that's at the end of July and beginning of August, is connected with a goddess as well. Yes, the festival is named for Lu, but his foster mother, who is from the Firbolg people, was Taliatu. And she was a queen and a goddess of the land. She toiled hard, died, and Lu held festival for his foster mother at this time. And so the tradition of having games in late July, early August, including some of those Scottish Highland games that happen around that time of year, really are rooted back into this Celtic tale of her. But there are other forms of goddesses that are linked in with this holiday. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we call that holiday the Green Spirit Festival. And of course, a form of the goddess would be the green goddess or the green woman. You've heard of green men? Well, green woman, it's basically a personification of the vegetative spirit. And certainly celebrating the abundance of life is an important part of that holiday. It's also a holiday associated with wheat and the harvesting of grain in particular. And some will make corn dollies out of the first of the grain to be harvested, and they would represent the goddess of the grain. So the Harvest Queen is another name for the great mother goddess of the harvest time that's honored in some traditions. And of course, the Romans had so many different holidays and so many different forms of the divine. There were several that were linked with this time of year as well. Salus, who is the goddess of good fortune and health, her celebration, her feast in ancient times was August 5th. Sais, the goddess of hope in ancient Rome, was August 1st. And Victoria, goddess of victory, also on August 1st. So you would have a variety of forms of the goddess to connect with at that time. Well, as we move to the eighth Sabbath in the wheel of the year, we go to fall equinox, also known as autumnal equinox. We call it welcome fall, madam, in some traditions. And this is the time of the harvest mother. And amongst the ancient Greeks and pagan reconstructionists that are keeping alive those old traditions from old Greece, this was the time of the great Eleusinian mysteries. And in antiquity, the great mysteries weren't held every year like the lesser mysteries. Some say they were held every 5 years. So once again, we have Demeter and Persephone as goddesses connected with the harvest and abundance. So that takes us back to the end of October, to Samhain with the crone. One of the things that I have worked with over the years as I have celebrated the Sabbats is to delve deep into ancient writings and scholarship about goddess forms that I've encountered linked in with the different holidays, as well as making contact with people of many paths who are celebrating these holidays in new ways. So what are some things to take from our celebration of goddesses around the wheel of the year? Well, first of all, take a look at what works for you in the place where you live. What are the seasons like? Now, I'm in a part of North America where there clearly are four seasons. And so for me, making the switch from Sabbath to Sabbath is an important way of being in touch with the change of the seasons. Some people live in more tropical climes where you can notice changes in the amount of sunlight, the length of days, but you might have a growing season year round. So the first thing I would suggest that you do is be in touch with the spirits of place, of environment where you're at, and to work with the divine in an all divine form, and in looking at your goddess connections, to call on the all goddess to be present, to attune to all goddess as you connect with the land where you live. Another important thing to keep in mind is what particular spiritual tradition or traditions you are connected with. Some people are solitary practitioners, and that is the main form, doing personal rituals by oneself with some connection with the larger community in cyberspace, but pretty much in-person religions, just those practices by self. And some of those personal practices may draw from a number of different traditions. Some may be aligned to a particular tradition. So it's important to pay attention to what works for you personally when you do your personal practice. If you are part of a spiritual community or you are studying a tradition in particular, is to make it a priority to understand how the divine feminine manifests in the wheel of the year in that particular tradition. And some traditions will have the goddess taking different faces going around the wheel of the year. In other traditions, with a multicultural underpinning, there will be distinctly different goddesses that are honored as the wheel of the year progresses each year. So take a look at what tradition or traditions you're studying. And another way to Another thing to keep in mind as you consider goddesses through the year is being part of a much larger community of people that are celebrating these Sabbaths. And the Sabbaths in the Northern Hemisphere are 6 months different from the Sabbaths in the Southern Hemisphere. And because I do global ministry, what I endeavor to do as I'm celebrating a particular Sabbath is to focus on what's happening where I'm at, but to acknowledge what's happening in half of the rest of the world, and to understand that with each Sabbath, you have a resonance with the Sabbath that 6 months later or earlier, depending on your point of view. And to be able to acknowledge that and to celebrate that by doing some shout outs on social media for those who are celebrating the holiday, but in a different form. Another thing I would recommend is if you don't already have a book of shadows, a spiritual journal, a diary, some type of spiritual workbook, is to begin one and to put information that you gather, experiences that you've had, understandings that have come to you through meditations for each of the Sabbaths, taking a look at your dreams and visions, and to make a note of what form and forms of the divine that appear to you, that you connect with, that you have experiences with. For myself, I have a multifaceted practice. One of the goddesses I have a strong connection with is Bridget. I not only celebrate her holiday in late January, early February every year, but I celebrate her year-round. And how I'm able to do that is I have a shrine that I keep towards her, and there I not only have candles that I kindle, but with each turning of the wheel of the year, I put different decorations on the shrine and symbols that represent the Sabbath. So I have had golden acorns and oak leaves for Imbolc, which has just concluded, and now we're moving on to Ostara next month. Welcome spring, the spring equinox. And in a few weeks, I'll be putting eggs, colored eggs, egg symbols, and some flowers to represent the springtime coming. Then when I move to Beltane, a total flower festival, I decorate the altar with all sorts of flowers, usually silk flowers, flowers that I call the long-lasting flowers, the symbolic flowers. When I get to summer solstice, Bridget is a goddess of the oak, and I get green oak leaves. I live in a forest with lots of green oak leaves, and I will decorate the altar, her shrine, with that. As I move to Lunasa, I gather bits of wheat that I have in my collection and decorate the altar in a traditional manner for Lunasa. When I move to fall equinox time, some of the leaves have started turning colors. I will put colored leaves around my Bridget, threefold Bridget image at the shrine. And then when I come to Samhain, there will be little pumpkins that represent that holiday for me. And full circle to the end of the calendar year, Yuletide, there'll be some evergreens and some pine cones. So it's possible to work with a particular form of goddess around the wheel of the year and change your decorations and your ways of approaching her as well. I'm so thankful to all of you who have been tuning in live via my Facebook Live, Selena Fox Updates, and all of you who listen to my Nature Spirituality podcast. I have that every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. And I give thanks to all of you who are watching later. One of the great things about doing teaching and workshops and talks in cyberspace is there's the opportunity to preserve them and have them available for
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voice mailbox that has not been set up yet. Goodbye.
The flame that burns and the water.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.